They just looked at me for a long moment, and I said to them, "You see, you guys have got the wrong Jesus." And they said, but we believe in Jesus. I said, "Which one?" I said, "Do you know who the real Jesus is?" And they said, "Yes, sir, he's the Son of God." I said, "Is he God in human flesh? Did God really appear, the fullness of deity in human flesh?" I said, "You don't believe that." They said, "Well, we don't believe Jesus is God." I said, "I know you don't. You believe Jesus is a God. You believe the Trinity is three gods. And you believe that there are many gods. And both of you guys are embryonic gods who are working your way to godhood so that someday you can have multiple wives and large families and reach exaltation of godhood so that you can reign just as all the gods have done before you." The one on my left said, "Are you Walter Martin?" I said, "Yes." He said, "We heard about you." I said, "In other words, you didn't hear about the other Jesus, the other spirit, the other gospel, but you did hear about me." "Right." I said, "Well, forget who I am for a minute. Answer the question. Answer the question. Who is Jesus Christ?" I said, "Look in your Bible. Back to the sword." I had them read John 1:1. This is how they read it. "In the beginning was the Word. The Word was with God. The Word was God." I said, "Right. Who's the Word?" They said, "God." I said, "Any doubt in your mind at all?" "No, sir. The Word is God." I said, "Both of you agree on that?" "Yes, sir. The Word is God." I said, "Great. Read verse 14. And the Word became flesh and dwelt among us." God became man. We had a marvelous time. I mean, I kept giving them Bible verses and I kept looking them up. They never got into the Book of Mormon. They never got to Doctrine and Covenants. They never got to the Mormon missionary pal. They never got to anything except Holy Scripture. That's the sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God. I felt for those guys. They were sincere. They were dedicated. They really believed that they were committed absolutely to it. And I said to them, "Don't you realize it's possible to be absolutely certain and be wrong? That you can be absolutely sincere and be wrong?" You know what the missionary said to me? "Well, Dr. Martin," he said, "don't you think that God will take into consideration our good intentions even if we are wrong?" I said, "You're counting on your good intentions after you have denied Jesus Christ as God in human flesh?" I said, "Let me give you an illustration." I said, "On the banks of the Zambezi River in Africa, every springtime, the high priest of the witchcraft religion there throws a girl baby to the crocodile god. And they've been doing it for 1,000 years. I said, "What is that priest doing?" And they said, "He's killing those baby girls." I said, "Right. But his intentions are honorable and good. He's throwing the baby to the crocodiles so you can get a good harvest from the crocodile god." The one on my right blurted out, "That's murder." I said, "Right, it is murder with the best intentions. Yours is the denial of the Lord Jesus Christ with the best intentions. Intentions don't help you. The road to hell is paved with good intentions." I was flying out here to speak, and I sat on the plane minding my own business, and the Lord brought a lovely Mormon couple on board, and they had seats right next to me. I didn't even have to look for them. They were there. And we got off the ground, and the lady started reading the Book of Mormon, and he struck up a conversation with me, and he led me right into Mormon proselytizing. He was going to win me to the Mormon church. He said, "You know, our church is growing more rapidly than anybody else." I said, "That can't be true, because I'm a Southern Baptist. I said, and we have 14.8 million members, and we're growing faster than anybody else that I know of. I said, we're the richest, most powerful, and fastest growing church in the entire world. And by the year 1990, there will be more Southern Baptists than people. He looked at me. And I said, you mean to tell me that the Southern Baptists are bigger than the Mormons? The Southern Baptists are right? He says, no. I said, then why, if the Mormons are bigger than other people, are they right? He said, well, don't you believe in statistics? I said, think for a second. There are liars, damned liars, and statisticians. The IRS is riddled with statisticians. Anybody ever been down there? You know what I'm talking about. Have all the statistics worked out. Now, this guy must have tried five different approaches to me on the phone. He never gave up. And finally he said, well, he says, you know, we don't really believe in eternal hell. I said, really? Not for everybody? Well, I said, what did you with Jesus when he says, these shall go away to everlasting fire? He said, well, you're taking it literally. I said, tell me what it means. Well, he says, it's allegorical. I said, what's an allegory? He didn't know that either. He says, I think you have a more than passing interest in Mormonism. I said, I do. I'm a professor of comparative religion. I'm very interested in your religion. But the most important thing is, who is Jesus Christ? That's what those Mormon missionaries had to face. That's what every Mormon has to face. It isn't a matter of semantics. It's a matter of biblical fact. Who is he? John 1, he is God in human flesh. Titus 2:13, he is the great God and our Savior, Jesus Christ. Who is he in Acts chapter 20? He is the God who paid for our sins with his own blood. Who is he? All true scripture. Wonderful counselor, mighty God, Father of eternity, Prince of peace. Who is this person? He told you in John chapter 8, verse 58, I tell you, before Abraham sprang into existence, I am the eternal God. At Brigham Young University, they have Hebrew scholars. They know that what I'm saying here tonight is so true, they could swear to it in a courtroom. They know that Jesus used the divine name for the eternal God and applied it to himself. Exodus 3, John chapter 8. Any scholar knows this. They know it, but they don't believe it. Yet Mormonism says it's the same God, it's the same Jesus. No, it isn't. I told these Mormon missionaries, someday you want to be gods, don't you? Well, someday in the providence of our Heavenly Father, we hope to be gods. I said, okay, you hope to be gods. Supposing God personally sent you a letter and said, you cannot be a god ever. Would you believe him? They looked at me sort of funny. They said, well, what do you mean? I said, supposing he gave you a revelation. Supposing he sent it to you. It's a revelation. Here it is. Would you believe it? It took 5 minutes to get them to say yes. If God personally told them, yes, they believe it. That was good of them. And I said, turn your King James Bible. Isaiah 43, God has a message for you. And they turned to it very fast. And they read it. You are my witnesses, says the Lord, and my servants whom I have chosen, that you may know, that you may believe, that you may understand. Before me there was no God formed, neither shall there be after me. You are not going to make it. Warned us of transforming lying spirits and warned us in 2 Corinthians 11. In fact, in your Bible, the word transform comes from an old Greek word which means change the outward appearance. So the other Jesus, the other spirit, the other gospel, the other apostles, the fallen angel have all changed their appearance. They look like us, they act like us, they sound like us, they talk like us, they quote our Bible, they use our terminology, they sing our hymns, and they deny Jesus Christ as God in human flesh. And that is what pins the label on forever. You cannot deny him who is Lord of all and cop out by saying, well, we believe he's the son of God. So what? Lucifer was the son of God. The angels in the book of Job, chapter 1, are the sons of God. We're talking about God himself in human flesh. Now, in Galatians chapter 1, the Apostle Paul anticipated Mormonism by direct revelation. He said, I'm worried about you, you Galatians. Foolish Galatians, who has bewitched you or cast a spell over you that you have so soon turned aside from me, the apostle who taught you? And then he says to them, Galatians 1:6, that if anyone comes to them and preaches to them a different Jesus, another gospel than what they have heard, don't listen. Don't listen to me if I come back, says Paul, and give you another gospel. And then he says, even if an angel materializes out of heaven, Moroni, and gives you what is different than what you got before, count him damned by God. I didn't say that. Paul said that. I had a Mormon missionary say to me one time, you know, he said, I don't know why you attack us. I said, don't attack you. Attack the theology which corrupts and which can cost you your soul. He said, but Mormons are good people. He said, and then he gave me a whole litany of all the goods of Mormonism. He said, we have good families. And he went down the line and everything. When he got all finished, I said, great. I said, you are all of those things, right? Right. And I said, that makes you Christians, right? Right. I said, the Jehovah's Witnesses do every one of those things. Before I could finish my sentence, he blurted out, the Jehovah's Witnesses are a cult. I said, then it doesn't make any difference how good you live, does it, or how much you look to be a Christian. What really counts is what you believe. I'm just a little bit tired, having traveled across this world for a long time and talked to endless numbers of missionaries, Mormons, apostles, general authorities, and people, to hear people like Abigail Van Buren, dear Abby, making the asinine statements that she makes for national syndication. We're giving her a bunch of documentation on her statement. But listen for a moment. Now, this is supposed to be a non-confrontational church. Ready? Quote, there is no salvation outside this one true church. There is no salvation outside the Church of Jesus Christ of Latter-day Saints. Close quote. Doctrine of Salvation, Volume 2, Volume 1, page 350, Bruce McConkie. Mormon Doctrine, pages 137, 138, and 670. No salvation, which means no resurrection outside of Mormonism. This is a confrontational statement. Now, let me proceed to, I think, the worst possible thing that Mormon theologians have taught, and that Mormonism still teaches today. It teaches that God is an exalted man, that he has a body of flesh and bone as tangible as ours. If we were to see him, we would see him in all the very form of man. We are told that we can evolve to his position. So you can all become gods through Mormonism, the same as all gods have done before you, says Joseph Smith. All right, let's stop for a second. This is very important. Jesus Christ is God's unique son. In fact, the Greek word only begotten is translated unique, monogenes, one of a kind. Jesus Christ is one of a kind. Now, why is he one of a kind? Because he is the only person to enter the world by a direct act of the Holy Spirit, who created his body in the womb of the Virgin Mary. Matthew chapter 1. The Holy Spirit will come upon you, the power of the highest will overshadow you. Luke chapter 1. And that holy thing which will be born of you will be called Son of God. Nothing could be clearer. He is God's unique son, incarnate virgin birth. Very clear. The birth of Jesus Christ took place this way. When his mother Mary is engaged to Joseph before they had sexual relations, says the Greek, she was found pregnant by the Holy Spirit. This is what the Mormon church really believes about it, and nobody wants to come out and discuss it because it upsets the Mormons. They ought to be upset. Listen to it. Brigham Young. When the Virgin Mary conceived the child Jesus, the Father had begotten him in his own likeness. He was not begotten by the Holy Ghost. And who is the Father? He is the first of the human family, and when he took a body, it was begotten by his Father in heaven, after the same manner as the bodies of Cain, Abel, and the rest of the sons and daughters of Adam and Eve. Jesus, our elder brother, was begotten in the flesh by the same character that was in the Garden of Eden, who is our Father in heaven. Now remember this, from this time forth, forever, Jesus Christ was not begotten by the Holy Ghost. He lied. Now people have said to me, couldn't you say that a little differently? No, because Matthew said he was begotten by the Holy Ghost, and Brigham said he wasn't. Matthew was an apostle and Brigham was an apostate. You have to make a choice between an apostate and an apostle. And the apostle says, conceived by the Holy Ghost. Now, how was he conceived according to Mormonism? He was begotten by his Father in heaven after the same manner as the tabernacles or bodies of Cain and Abel. How were Cain and Abel begotten? Unless we've had a radical departure from biological science, by sexual intercourse. Is that correct? Now, this is the pornography of Mormonism. So you know they're not telling the truth. Let God be true and every man a liar. I would like to spend more time. There's all kinds of material in print on this. Good material from Christian Research Institute, Saints Alive, Geraldine, Sandra Tanner, Wally Tope, a whole group of people who've done their homework. I thank God for them. And I thank God for people that take a stand against the cults. When I started 36 years ago, I couldn't get 10 people in an auditorium, and last year I spoke to 18,000 at one spot in the southern part of the United States. That means the church is awake. The church is listening. Don't get discouraged. Don't think you're not going to communicate. Don't think you're not going to get through. The word of God is not bound. Greater is he that is in you than he that is in the world. Thank you. Thank you.